This is the Photography Podcast on photography.ca, episode number 74, all about hyperfocal distance. Hey there, photo lovers. How's it going? And welcome to the 74th Photography Podcast on photography.ca. My name is Marco, and as always, we're coming to you from Montreal, Quebec, Canada. For today's show, we're going to talk about hyperfocal distance and what it is and how we can use it, especially in relation to landscape photography. But before we get into it, I always like to thank people for comments that they made on our last podcast, number 73, where we talked about how to improve boring landscapes. And Kat, Glenn Uloth, Iguanasan from our forum, Bambi, and Alex Maxim all left comments right on the blog, and that's our preferred way to get them. So if you do like the podcast you listen to, it would be a great gesture if you would just comment. And you can comment in a number of places. In the forum, photography.ca/forums. You can send me an email, photography.ca@gmail.com. But the preferred method is to get a comment right there on the blog, and that's photography.ca/blog. All right then, so let's just get right into this topic. So hyperfocal distance, it's a very confusing topic for a lot of people, extremely confusing. And if you try and do your own research on it, you'll understand why. There's a lot of math behind it, or there's some math behind it, and a lot of people are math phobic and they don't want to deal with math. But at the end of the day, I think I can explain this well enough so that a lot of people can get some use from it. And that's what I'm going to try and do. So what is hyperfocal distance? So it is the distance that you focus at in order to get the greatest depth of field for any aperture and lens combination. And for the purposes of this podcast, we're going to talk about basically photographing landscapes. We're going to talk about when you're focusing on objects in the distance. So we're talking about objects that are, you know, 40 feet away from you, 50 feet away from you. And if you look at your lens barrel, there's a little symbol that looks like a sideways 8. And that symbol is called infinity. So we're really talking about distances that are approaching infinity. And for the sake of photography, infinity is just the furthest point you're going to focus at. So here's how it goes. Whenever you are focused on an object in the distance, so it's not just that object that's going to be in focus, right? So let's say it's a mountain. So not only is the mountain going to be in focus, there will be parts in front of the object that will be in focus, and there will be parts in behind the object that will be in focus. Now, from behind the object to in front of the object, all that space that's going to be in focus, that's called depth of field. And as we well know, depth of field varies with the aperture we choose and the lens choice we choose. We know this, right? Wide angle lenses give more depth of field than telephoto lenses. It's just the law of optics. It's just the way it works. You got to accept it. And we also know, of course, that larger apertures, when the hole is physically larger, around f2.8 or f4, we know that those apertures are going to give you less depth of field than smaller apertures, where the aperture is very, very small and the f-stop number is higher, f11, f16, etc. We just know that. And that's normal focusing. This is how we normally focus. 99% of photographers focus in this way. They want to take a shot of a landscape. It's a mountain. They're focusing on the mountain. That's normal. Hyperfocal distance says that we could squeeze more depth of field out of this range by focusing on a point that's likely in front of the object. And here's why. So that range of space of what's in focus is usually going to be the object itself, two-thirds behind the object, and one-third in front of the subject. So again, I hope that's kind of clear. When you're photographing in three-dimensional space. You're photographing a mountain or a tree at the distance. There's stuff going to be behind the tree that's in focus, and there's stuff that's going to be in focus that's in front of the tree. And the ratio is two-thirds behind the tree and one-third in front of the tree, approximately. It's just a range. It's not so precise, but it gives you something to think about. So here's the trick. Now, when you're focused at infinity, right, that's the farthest you can focus. And when you're focusing on a mountain from 40, 50, 60 feet away, you're likely focusing at infinity. And you can see where you're focusing in feet or meter on most lenses. And for right now, we're talking about new DSLRs. We're talking digital photography. So on most barrels of lenses on digital photography, when the object is in focus, if you look at your lens, there'll be a focusing mark and it'll tell you the distance. Now again, when you focus on that mountain that's far away from you, if you focused at infinity, there's nothing more to focus. So the two-thirds of the range that should be sharp behind the object are lost because you're already focused at the end of your lens. So what hyperfocal distance is telling you to do, it's telling you to focus before the object, and that way you will have a certain percentage behind the object that will be sharp, just based on the natural range. So basically, hyperfocal distance, it squeezes extra juice out of this depth of field by focusing on a point before the actual object. And that's the general rule here. And it's kind of a weird concept to get your head around, because normally we look at an object, we make it as sharp as we can in our camera, and then we shoot. But now I'm telling you not to focus sharply on that object in the distance, so it's a bit odd. But you kind of got to try it for yourself. It's really all you got to do. And, you know, you'll take two shots. You'll take one shot at the normal way you focus, on a mountain or a tree 50 feet away or at infinity, and then you will use the hyperfocal distance, and I'll tell you how to figure that out shortly, and you'll compare the two, and you will notice that the image that was shot at the hyperfocal distance will have more depth of field, meaning more stuff from foreground to background will be sharp than if you just focus on the object in the distance. So where do you focus exactly? On what point do you focus exactly? Well, in the old pre-digital days when we shot film, it was really pretty simple because all the information was right there on your lens. You didn't really need to carry any information around with you. It was all on the lens. So basically what you would do was you would choose an aperture, likely smaller if you're photographing, you know, something in the distance. So then on the old film cameras, there were markings that actually show F11 on the lens, F11 to the right of the lens and F11 to the left of the lens. And you have a focusing point in the middle. And then all you had to do was read the range right there on the lens. It was right there for you and you could see the natural range. And then what you would do, and again, I don't really want to get into the whole reasons why, just trust me, this is what you used to do. So just like we spoke about before, you would focus on the mountain in the distance, and on the old film cameras, it would tell you what's going to be in focus. You know, you will have like, I don't know, 20 feet to infinity in focus, let's just say. Now, using hyperfocal distance, what you're going to do is whatever point you are focused at, you ignore that. You take the infinity symbol and put it over that point, and then what happens is that your depth of field has been extended. So whereas the old way, if you just focus on the mountain, it might tell you that you will have from 20 feet to infinity will be sharp. By using the hyperfocal distance, this is just an example, it will tell you that you will have from 15 feet to infinity sharp. So you've gained 5 feet simply by using the hyperfocal distance. This 5 feet is going to mean that when you print your print, your foreground will be sharper by using the hyperfocal distance than if you don't use the hyperfocal distance. As simple as that, and just in case it wasn't so simple, whatever your natural focusing point was, you take the infinity symbol, you put it over the old focusing point, and then you have a new range. And you could have easily read that range on the lens barrel of your lens. That's old school, that's film. So for digital, I don't know why they've done this, but they've removed all that brilliant and useful information from the barrel of the lens. So you can no longer just look at your lens and see what the hyperfocal distance is. You now need a chart. So there are loads of free charts available on the internet. So it's just straight math and it's all been done for you. Based on your lens, the aperture you've chosen, and your distance from the object, you'll need to plug in those factors, and then the chart will tell you what your hyperfocal distance is, which means where you should focus. And again, because new digital lenses do have a distance scale from your camera, it's easy to do, right? So if it's 20 feet, you just set the focus at 20 feet, you look through your camera and you shoot. If you want to test it, you take two shots. One, the normal way, just shoot the mountain, and then just shoot the mountain at the hyperfocal distance. And you should see that the one shot at the hyperfocal distance will be sharper from foreground to background. Hope it's making sense. Hope it's clear. I'll be honest, I know what hyperfocal distance is, but before any podcast, I usually do extra research just to see what's going on. And a lot of the stuff that I was reading, I'm like, oof, is my audience going to really comprehend this? it was complex. So I hope I'm breaking it down easily. I hope it's making sense. And if I've left something out, of course, just shoot me an email or a comment, of course. But I did want to introduce this concept to you. Okay, so there is a fantastic site. It rocks. It's awesome. And it's called dofmaster.com. D-O-F-Master, all one word, .com. And they have an amazing chart and they have great explanations with that chart. So everything I'm talking about now, they have it in more depth if you're interested in it. Links to go, of course, in the show notes. I'm going to put quite a few links that will go in the show notes. And I'll also put a couple of images in the show notes as well. One, a scene shot at the hyperfocal distance and one shot at the regular distance. And you can see for yourself the clear difference. But anyway, the chart or the depth of field calculator that they have at dofmaster.com, it's just awesome. It gives you, it pictorially shows you, you know, if you're going to focus an object at 40 feet. So here's just an example right off their site. And this is for 35 millimeter cameras. So it's old film cameras. What's beautiful about their calculator is that it works for different brands of camera, Nikon, Canon, Pentax, etc. And it also has the crop factors built in. So there's nothing that you need to think about. So digital differs from conventional photography in that there are crop factors of, you know, full frame versus crop factors. I don't really want to get into it, but it's not the same. You got to use the scale that matches your camera. But for this example, it's just with old school camera. So let's say you're using the Nifty 50. You have a 50 millimeter lens. You're shooting at F11. Your subject is 40 feet away from you. So really beautifully, they have a chart and it just shows it so clearly. So I do recommend that you check out that site, and it will tell you that for the normal focusing distance at 40 feet away, you will have 15.1 feet of sharpness to infinity, which means that 15.1 feet in front of your camera, the sharpness will start and it will continue until infinity. Now, if you focus at the hyperfocal distance, so instead of focusing at 40 feet, this chart just tells you to focus at 24.3 feet. It just tells you. That's what you do. You just follow the chart. There's no thinking. You just plug in the values and follow the chart. So it's telling you not to shoot this at 40 feet. Shoot it at 24.3 feet. And then your depth of field extends from 12.15 feet to infinity. So this gains you 3 feet of depth of field. You get 12.15 versus 15.1. So 12.15 feet from your camera to infinity will be sharp. Great trick. You're squeezing extra juice just by moving your focusing point a little bit toward you, not toward infinity, toward you, toward the shorter end. And you can try this for different lenses, different focal lengths. If you have a zoom lens, you know, 28 to 70, and you're shooting at 40, just plug in 40. You know, it doesn't matter. Now, what's also beautiful about the internet age is that there are also apps that you could, holy moly, use on your iPhone or other phones. And there's the Depth of Field Master app that you could just download for nothing. And that way you just have it with you there, right? So, you know, sometimes we're not connected to the net. So how are we going to, you know, find out the hyperfocal distance if we're in the field shooting? Well, if you have your iPhone app, you could just do it really quickly that way, or you could just print out a chart and have it with you. There's tons and tons and tons of charts that you could just bring with you and little spin plastic dials that fit conveniently in your bag. I totally recommend you get one, and I'll put some links in the show notes. So you got to have that with you. But if you're connected via iPhone and you got some cool apps, well, then you have it on you already. It's awesome. Just awesome. And the last thing I really wanted to talk about hyperfocal distance is when not to use it, you know? So again, it's most useful when we are focusing on things in the distance, 40, 50 feet away. But as you approach infinity, as you approach the end of the focal length of your lens, that's when it's really, really useful. Now, what happens is for a lot of landscape photographers is they like objects very close in their scene. So they'll put an important object toward the foreground. Now, if you put this very important object in the foreground and you're using the technique that I just described, it ain't going to work because this technique is for things that are far in the background, not for things in the foreground. So if you try and use the hyperfocal distance for a shot like that, you will notice that that very important object in the front of your scene, in the foreground, is going to be too soft. So you are not going to want to use conventional hyperfocal distance in that case. You can modify it somewhat such that, you know, if you're focusing on the mountain example, Well, conventional hyperfocal distance tells you to focus a bit before the mountain. Well, you could actually play and see things come in and out of focus on your viewfinder if it's bright enough, or maybe if it's tethered to a computer, you know, that might be a really good idea. So you could just play and turn the focus toward you, and then that object in the foreground will come into sharpness at some point. So depending on what's important to you, you know, if you do want to play with hyperfocal distance in that way, you can, but you're going to have to modify it from the conventional reading that you're going to get on a chart. It won't work in that case, actually. There'll be more play. So it's kind of up to you to figure out the zone of sharpness if you have a very important object in the foreground that you want tack sharp. And I think that's all I got to say about that. So in my mind, everything is crystal clear. But for you guys, it might not be so clear. And if it isn't clear, please just send me a comment. Please just send me an email. And it's my pleasure to try and clear it up for you. Okay, let's talk about this month's assignment. We have a really cool assignment in our forum on photography.ca. And it's a landscapes in portrait orientation. So normally when we take landscapes, you know, they're wider than they are long. But for this month, it's the exact opposite. We want long landscapes, so we want them in portrait orientation, and we already have some really, really cool submissions, and it's a great thinking outside of the box topic. So if you are lurking on our forum, I encourage you to join and submit your own take on our assignment, and show us what you got. It's a friendly forum, and more people are joining, and I think that's one of the mantras of our forum. It's a friendly forum, man, so if you've been dissed on other forums, why not try out ours, and you'll find what a friendly environment it is. It's one of the things I'm most proud about our forum, is that it's really a friendly learning environment. So if you're lurking, join. We're a friendly bunch. Highly unlikely you'll be disappointed. In terms of connecting further with me personally, oh my gosh, it's my pleasure. I'm in several places on the internet. Twitter is Marko Kulik, MarkoKulik. That's all one word. You can follow me on Twitter. You can follow me on Facebook, Marko Kulik, MARKO with a space, KULIK. We also have a fan page for photography.ca, and I'd love to get some more fans. I'm trying to post all kinds of stuff a couple of times or 2-3 times a week, interesting shots that I see, interesting techniques that I read. So I'm trying to make that Facebook fan page more active. So if you want to be a fan of that page, that would be greatly appreciated. And links will go in the show notes as well. Thanks so much for listening, everyone. The air is getting cooler. The seasons are changing. And that just means that there's great transition, seasonal transition shots that you should be out there shooting, documenting, sending to your friends, posting on the forums, stuff like that. Anyway, just get out there, have fun, bundle up if you're cold. I heard it was snowing in Calgary. Sorry about that, Calgarians. But anyway, it's not the frigid cold yet, so you got no excuse. Just get out there and keep on shooting. Bye for now, everyone.